So let's just sum up where we are. Yesterday's story got a lot of traction, actually, both across the water in the rest of the UK and here in Northern Ireland, when we revealed how the DUP can fine MLAs and MPs if they say what they think without having the prior permission of the DUP press office. We saw yesterday, we published on the Nolan Twitter feed, some details of a letter signed by Timothy Johnston, who is the chief executive of the DUP, issuing a fine on behalf of the party officers and the DUP policy. Today, we have further revelations. The Nolan Show can reveal this morning that the DUP has also threatened local councillors with fines if they express their opinions against the party line in the council chamber. The Democratic Unionist Party has told councillors that they will face £100 fines if they disagree openly with other members of the party. Is that what you expect in a democracy, or is that a party implementing good discipline? So the next time you hear or read or witness a DUP councillor standing up and saying what they think, do they think it? Or is it what a press office thinks? Is it what some people in the DUP have told the press office that the party line is? Now, this actually can cost local councillors money if they want to speak openly. If they cannot afford it, Arlene Foster and her party are essentially muzzling some councillors from speaking freely. These people spoke to us on the condition of anonymity, but we do have a number of sources for this story. Here's what the first person told me.
If you spoke against the party, say you went into the chamber and you got up and you had a different opinion to your DUP colleague, well, if that was the opinion of the group, then if I spoke against it, it was a £100 fine. So in order for me, I've removed myself a couple of times from the chamber because I didn't agree with some of my colleagues and their views, so it was easier for me to just get up and walk away instead of speaking against them, because speaking against them, then you'd get a £100 fine. And I wouldn't give them the satisfaction. I always removed myself from the chamber, whether that was just looking at my phone or walking out with my phone to my ear, thinking that they'd thought I'd taken a call to remove myself from a vote or a debate on it. I didn't agree with it.
So what would happen if someone did think it was in the public interest to speak out, but they didn't have £100? Because councillors are not paid that much.
You're basically told, just get out of the chamber if you don't agree with it, if there is a vote called on it. One councillor, definitely, I know, was pulled in and was told he would be fined £100.
So can you remember the fine structure, how much the fines were?
It was £100 if you spoke against your colleagues in the chamber, and it wasn't of the party line. So if you went against the party line, got up actively and spoke against the party colleague in the chamber, you'd be fined £100.
Are you sure?
100% sure. I am, Stephen. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind.
And here's another person, and here's what they said.
There was a policy there that you had to go with the group decision. If the group wanted to make a decision and you weren't happy with it there, you had to go with that group decision on a vote or leave the chamber, you know?
And if you did speak up about it, what was the potential punishment?
Well, there would be considerations of a fine, you know, for speaking out against the group. You would be probably asked before the group there to explain yourself. If you spoke up against the group, but it normally wouldn't happen, you know, because you'd be scared to speak up against the group.
The political editor of the newsletter, Sam McBride, with us this morning. Morning to you, Sam.
Morning, Stephen.
Day two, revelation two. What do you make of this?
I suppose, I mean, whipping is as old as party politics. The idea that parties try to corral their members, be they MPs or councillors or whatever, to go through the right lobby. There have been all sorts of claims about blackmail and very dark bullying, really, of people. But I've never heard of people being financially threatened in this way before. I think that the idea that your councillor, who you elect to represent you, to now in our new councils decide on issues like planning issues, which are very specific to your local area. I mean, it's pretty hard to understand how they would be facing a financial sanction from their party for speaking out in good faith to give their view given that they are the person who has the mandate, not a press officer or a SPAD or whoever might be sending out these edicts or sending out these fines. So, I mean, I think that is something which the person who has leaked this to you or the people who have leaked this to you, whatever their motive for doing that, I think they are performing a public service, because if parties want to do this, that's up to them. But I think the voters in a democratic system have a right to know what is going on here, and that is what is coming out now. So if people are happy with this, fine. If they're not, I think they can make their voices heard.
Yeah, when you talk about the press officers or indeed the SAM, the SPAD SAM, they are, of course, the messengers in this, because the DUP, here's their latest statement to the Nolan Show: the DUP operates under a code of conduct for its members, which was passed by the Central Executive Committee of the party. So it's the Central Executive Committee of the party who are deciding to tell councillors in certain circumstances, if a councillor basically has an opinion, they're not allowed to say it out loud unless they've got 100 quid if it goes against the party line.
I mean, the upshot of that is that what we have then is a pretense of party unity on major issues, where people are actually giving the impression to the public that they support something, that there is agreement within the party on a major issue, and actually what's happening behind closed doors is that these people are, in some cases, it seems now, remaining silent on pain of money coming out of the bank accounts. I mean, I think it's very difficult to see how that is a proportionate way of dealing with party discipline. And parties have to enforce discipline, but the traditional way that is enforced is by the whip system. And if you step out of line, you lose the party whip. And that is a two-way process, because you lose access to being able to say that you're a DUP councillor or a Sinn Féin councillor or whatever, but the party also then loses control of you. And it may be that what happens here is that the party doesn't want to go down that route, so it's much easier to simply slap a fine on somebody. And, of course, there's a financial benefit for the party out of that structure as well.
So this is a bigger story, Sam, than just having an insight into how the biggest party in Northern Ireland implements discipline. This is about democracy, and about we the public, when we hear an elected representative of any guise, when we hear someone say something, our instinct surely has to be they mean it, because they're saying it. When we now hear what a DUP councillor says in the future, how do we know if they mean it?
Well, it's more than
how do we not know that they fundamentally disagree with it?
Well, that is one aspect of it. The second aspect of this is that if it's actually enforced and if people go along with this and they obey this rule, essentially what we will have are clones. I mean, we will just have people who are all singing off exactly the same hymn sheet. They don't disagree on anything of substance. And there is no there's no colour within a party. There's no sense that maybe I like this person within a party, but I don't like that person. Voter choice is absolutely crucial. I remember as a young reporter covering Coleraine Borough Council, as it then was, and I very clearly remember one DUP councillor who is still with the party standing up in the council chamber and disagreeing with his colleagues in support of a grant for a GAA club. And he was making the argument that he was a sports fan. He believed that this was something that was good for the area. It was getting kids off the streets. His colleagues disagreed with him. People watching that and reading the report in the local paper the next week are able to make their own minds up and say, well, I do agree with him, I don't agree with him. And that's the essence of democracy. Once you take that away and you say that simply this is the party view and nobody can give their honest opinion or their honest view for voters to make that decision, you're really taking power away from the people. Yes, ultimately people still elect the party and that is their choice. But if they don't know that this is what's going on in the background, it's a bit of a false choice, I think.
What Sam, by the way, the number today, 030 30 80 55 55, a councillor would not, some councillors would not have massive incomes, right? There wouldn't be a lot of money associated with what they do, correct?
That's right. It's really seen as a part-time position. So, I mean, it's gone up a little bit. I think it might be about between £10,000 and £15,000. It might be about £12,000.
OK. So £12,000 is what? 200-odd quid a week. If a councillor is getting fined £100, that's half their week's salary. So that's a hell of a disincentive for a councillor to actually stand up and say what they believe in. That's half their week's salary the DUP are threatening to take away from them.
And again, I mean, it will come down to the individual circumstances of people. Some, like, I know some DUP councillors are very independently wealthy. I know that some are not remotely wealthy. And I mean, you're really, I suppose, then not having a level playing field. If there's somebody who does have resources and just doesn't care, they can say what they like. If there's somebody who doesn't, they're really not in the same position. I mean, I think there are also huge questions here legally around this. I'm not a lawyer, but I mean, within council chambers, as with the Assembly, you have got privilege, legal privilege, to say what you think in terms of your honest opinion, and that's really a critical element of the democratic process, that there is not a constraint, that they're not concerned about somebody suing them or anything like that. They're the representatives of the people. They're able to say what they think within the confines of the council chamber. If you have a situation where there's an external influence holding a financial penalty over the head of these people, I mean, I think that opens up a very significant query as to whether that actually is free speech, actually whether the council chamber is somewhere where people can express themselves, or whether there's this hidden hand, I suppose, really guiding and directing these.
It's not hidden anymore.
Well, not anymore. And I think that's why it's important that this gets out there. As I say, people can make their own minds up. People, when they go to vote, have got all sorts of issues in their minds. They weigh up a party's policies, the individuals, the record, all sorts of things. And I think that this is something which people can weigh up for themselves. But if they don't know about it, they can't do that.
Michael and Derry, what's your reaction to this, Michael?
Stephen, my reaction to this is no surprise, because bringing you back to, I always remember the very famous interview with Dr. Paisley by Eamon Malley. And Dr. Paisley even talked about the sort of behind-the-scenes members of the DUP having the power and, you know, wanting him out. And the man you spoke about, who's now the chief executive, was named even in that show.
Well, that's Timothy Johnson you're talking about, who is the chief executive of the DUP. But I would stress this morning that what the DUP is saying is that all of these rules are in their code of conduct passed by the Central Executive Committee of the party. So it would be wrong and unfair on Timothy Johnson to pin this on him.
Oh, definitely.
But it's an executive committee of the DUP are deciding to do it. But the bottom line is, Michael, if a councillor stands up and disagrees with anybody else in their party, then they are in a situation where they've got a fine. You know, they've got a fine. Let's say they don't have a lot of money and they're earning 10, 12 grand. They've got to forgo half their week's salary before, or at least the threat of it, before they can stand up and actually fight verbally fight for what they believe in.
Yeah, I think I think the Democratic Unionist Party, Stephen, would maybe change their name now. The Democratic part's not really, you know, it's not with the last few days listening to your show, it's hardly very democratic. If it is written into their party rules and regulations, well, that's for them. That's not for you or I. That's for them. But again, it's not democratic. Therefore, they need to be telling their voters what the, you know, because at the end of the day, this has always been my issue with these big parties, that you have to sort of team to toe the party line. Therefore, we might as well have robots, Stephen, running things for us, if that's the case, because
this is party discipline. Or this is a party with, you know, every organisation in the world wants discipline. Every organisation wants a coherent message.
Stephen, you see, and you know, I'm in business myself here in Derry. There's a very thin line between discipline, though, Stephen, discipline and total control. Do you know what I mean? You know, yeah. I dare say, Stephen, on a slightly lighter note, that the BBC might want to try and discipline and control yourself, but the Times, you know, and fair play to you, you're a man of conscience, and if you saw what they say, you say it.
Sam McBride, Michael, thank you. Sam, what type of things would a councillor in the public interest be talking about during their gig as a councillor? So what type of issues would they be dealing with where we now don't know if they've been under duress because of the threat of a fine if they disagree with the party line?
The first thing to say there is that councils tend to interpret their remit in a very wide way, and sometimes fairly crazy, actually, in terms of some of the things which they talk about. We'll have councils passing motions about everything from international affairs to abortion to things that are way outside their remit. What is in their remit, and what I think would concern some people if it was part of this structure, would be the issue of planning. That is something which now is in the gift of councils. Councillors are the final decision makers when it comes to most planning applications. And it would be, I think, deeply concerning if there was a situation where a party could guarantee to somebody that there would be votes for or against a planning application. Now, from what you said...
Well, no, there's no suggestion of that, is there? Because this is a party line speaking, on,
yes.
on so issues.
I think the question would be about whether you can remain silent in the council chamber but then vote in a different way to the party, or whether this extends. And I mean, logically, it would seem that it would extend if you're not allowed to speak against the party. Well, are you allowed to vote against the party, or is this exempted from it? There are all sorts of questions that are thrown up by this, but I think that there are significant financial decisions which are taken by councils. And I think if there was any suggestion that people were not free to express themselves and to decide on those issues in line with how they saw best fitted with their judgment and their experience, I think that would be certainly open to things that would be quite concerning.
There are a lot of calls about this today. 03030 80 55 55. The DUP, I read the beginning of their statement earlier. They end by saying the party does not comment on its internal procedures. Well, they may not, but the public is this morning. Loads of calls on this today. 03030 80 55 55. And we're lining your calls up now. Malachy O'Doherty joining us. What do you think, Malachy? So yesterday we had MLAs and MPs, they are not allowed to speak to the media without the prior permission of the press office. If it's not the party line, they're not allowed to express themselves, or there will be the threat of a fine. Today's story then builds on that. Now it's councillors not allowed to disagree with other DUP councillors. Or again, there's a threat of £100 fine.
It is astonishing. But do you know, in one way, Stephen, it's actually a very impractical way to run a political party, because what you end up with is you end up with compliant people. The best people to get on in a party are the people who just do what the leadership says, keep their mouths shut about other things, and are good at being lickspittles, you know, time servers. And you don't get the people then who are going to be ambitious, who challenge the leadership with new ideas, and who take the party on to another generation. And we have examples of that in the history of Northern Ireland politics. We've seen it, for instance, in the SDLP, which wasn't, I'm sure, you know, disciplining people to that extent. But certainly John Hume in his period in the SDLP hogged the leadership. You know, and people with big ideas in the party eventually just drifted away from the party. Then you find the next generation of the party. There isn't the talent base, really. I mean, I know that might sound very disparaging of Margaret Ritchie and Colm Eastwood, but essentially there wasn't the talent base that could produce a leader of Hume's stature. And, I personally think the same thing has happened in Sinn Féin. I think it has happened in the Ulster Unionist Party. I think if you need a political party to be able to allow ideas to ferment, to allow people who are a wee bit cheeky, a wee bit novel, a wee bit imaginative in their thinking to come forward. And what do we find in Northern Ireland, if you look around in another scale, you know, you find that that there are an awful lot of people in Northern Ireland who are big political thinkers and oratorically quite brilliant, and yet they stay out of party politics because they know that that's not a genial place for a person with a certain amount of individuality. I'm thinking of people like Bernadette Devlin, Eamon McCann, Brian Feeney, you know, people who have politics in their blood, you know, and the talent to be party leaders, and wouldn't dream of joining a political party, though I don't speak for them and shouldn't say that. So I think it's damaging the politics itself. A party that runs itself that tightly is going to choke itself, and that's what's happened before.
Michael in Newton Abbey. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen. I would assume that when you join any political party, that first, not only do you agree with their policies and their, but you also read their codes of practices and the disciplinary codes, etc., that are attributed and aligned with those parties. And following on from what you're saying, I would rightly or wrongly assume that that and everyone that's making these complaints, etc., or in respect to fining and so on, that they at some stage would have read those and that they would have been aware of it. Plus, before you go into any council meeting, etc., the party members meet, they decide what's going on, etc., etc. Now, if someone came to me and I was a member of a party and I was aware of these rules, if you want to call them, etc., and I had the option, as you have alluded to, that they can either leave the chamber at the vote or risk run the risk of being fined. If it got to that point, with the greatest respect, Stephen, I would actually resign from the party. I would act because my principle. Now, could I?
That is another question, isn't it? Why, you know, if some of these people are not saying what they believe in, but actually saying, why are they putting their name to something if they don't believe it? Where does that end?
Well, did you ask them? Did you ask these people that you've spoken to, Stephen, whether they considered resignation?
You heard what two of the people I spoke to said they did. One said that they left the chamber. Well, at least on that person, what this policy, the impact of the policy was that they didn't speak freely. They did not speak openly. They pretended to be on the phone and walked out the door. Is that the type of democracy that you want?